refugee, a person living with AIDS. Would you harbor a Tubman, a Garrett, a Truth, a fugitive or a slave? Would you harbor a Haitian, Korean or Czech, a lesbian?
Good morning. And welcome. What a joy it is to gather together to create community and to support one another on life's journey. Whatever journey has brought you to this time and this place, your presence here is a gift to us all. Our gathering call this morning sings of the harmony that we can create when we are willing to reach out across our divisions. Titled Building Bridges, it comes to us from the Women's Peace Movement in England, specifically from the Greenham Common Peace Occupation of the 1980s. It is found in our hymnal supplement, Singing the Journey, but this morning the words will be displayed. I invite you to rise in body or in spirit, and we will sing it through three times. Unitarian Universalism is a free religious tradition. It supports each individual on their personal journey, and yet we are connected by our shared values and our commitment to being together on this journey. We come together to explore and to express that which has meaning for us. We know that our journey can take us to amazing places. And we welcome insights from all of the world's wisdom traditions. We rely on science and find inspiration in the arts. We ponder the great questions of the philosophers and the lessons of the natural world. We affirm the worth and dignity of all people, as well as our connection to all of existence. For a century now, this congregation has worked to build the beloved community by allowing our values to take shape as action in the world. As we begin our next 100 years, we welcome all who would join us on this journey. On this journey, we welcome you. If you are worshiping with us for the first time this morning, a special welcome to you. We are so glad that you are here. We invite you to join us for refreshment and conversation in Gore Hall, which is across the patio, after the service. I hope that you picked up an order of service as you entered. It will help you follow along with the service and also provides helpful information about our congregation. This morning, we are delighted to welcome our special guests, the participants in the weekend's Florida District Unitarian Universalist Choral Festival. Our service is just a little bit different this morning so that we may fully receive the gifts that they bring. A big thank you to all of you for being here. And now, although it is not my custom to do this, I will ask that we refrain from applause until after we've heard all the pieces. I'll let you know when that time comes. It is the custom in Unitarian Universalist congregations to begin our time together with a lighting of a chalice, a symbol of our faith. As we say the words of our chalice lighting together, I invite you to notice the extra words that have been added for this morning.
In the light of truth and in the warmth of love, we gather to seek, to sustain, to share, and to save.
Our opening words come from the Reverend David Johnson, who said, "Who could do better than to be a singer on the high, windswept hills of life, bringing songs to the soul, songs full of loveliness and hope for all people." So let us sing of hope, compassion, and strength. Our hymn is Gather the Spirit. The words will be displayed or can be found at 347 in the hymnal. Please rise in body or in spirit and join in singing. As we gather to support one another through all the twists and turns of life's journey, let us also be generous in our support of our congregations, which bring us together and shine the light of liberal religion into our world. Your offerings to support the mission of this congregation will now be gratefully received.
Amen.
Now, I will invite the children forward, but I'm going to ask you today to watch out for cameras and to sit in each of the two aisles toward the center, okay? Now, as a reminder to everyone, some of the stories that I tell are real stories about things that really happened, and others are make-believe and some are idea stories. And this morning, I'm going to let you decide which type of story we have. Once upon a time, a long, long time ago, there was a creator who had a hobby of making planets. The creator took great pride in making each one different. One day, she looked at a gap in the solar system and said, "I think I'll make a planet to go over there. Let me think. How will I make this one?" She sat and looked out into the vast reaches of swirling matter and thought long and hard about creating another planet in her collection. She had a very large closet in which she had rows and rows of shelves with little jars and envelopes of things. To begin, she took a large glass jar down from the shelf and started adding ingredients to her planet. A pinch of this and a pinch of that. In went daffodils and puppies and pizza. She added ladybugs and butterflies and fire ants just to make her planet interesting. She poured in lots of liquid from the jars marked oceans and seas and clear lakes, and slowly poured in more liquid from a jar labeled waterfalls. She smiled and added just a dash from the jar labeled mud puddles. She decided to take in a sample from all of her boxes labeled human beings. She combined people of all sizes and shapes and ages, many colors of skin and hair, and many different kinds of noses, and many different interests and skills. Over all the people, she sprinkled some powder called change, so that people would change in size and age, interests and skills. "That will make this new planet interesting," she mused to herself. "I'm glad I thought to do this." She looked in the section of her closet called Moods and Emotions, and she wondered whether she should add a little or a lot. She started with love, adding more than 2 cups, and then, just to make the planet more interesting, she closed her eyes and she reached in and took a handful from the miscellaneous jar, where there were bits and pieces of sadness and courage, loneliness and happiness, memory and hope. She shook out some schools and universities where people come together to learn. She shook out some churches and temples where people could come together to remember what is important in life. She added comfortable shoes and blue jeans and warm coats and bathing suits. From her section called Smells, she shook in a pinch of hyacinth, a pinch of just-baked chocolate chip cookies, and a pinch of freshly mowed grass. And just to make it interesting, a pinch of skunk. She amused herself for days and days designing her new planet. Finally, she was almost done. Almost. There was one more ingredient that she wanted to add. She moved jars around looking for one special jar she remembered that she had, but that she had never used before. Finally, she found it behind a jar labeled Kalamavda, which she didn't add, so I don't know what that would have added to her planet. she carefully lifted down a little jar labeled Freedom. This time she had to read the label because she didn't remember exactly what was in the jar. The label said, "This compound contains the ability to make choices, to choose one thing instead of another. Use cautiously because the choices made will have consequences." The creator smiled as she measured out twice the maximum recommended dosage into her glass jar. She said to herself, "This will make it especially interesting." She held the open jar in her hands, slowly turning it as she looked down into it. A soft chuckle rumbled out of her mouth and into the jar. A tear trickled down her cheek and into the jar also. She leaned over and blew in her warm breath. And then she screwed on the cover and flung the jar away into the star-speckled darkness. It landed just where she intended, about 93 million miles from one of her favorite suns. The creator watched her planet settle into its new home. She thought to herself, "What a nice piece of work. I hope they'll appreciate all the special things I did to make their planet interesting." Then she sat down with a good book, a bowl of popcorn, and some Kalimavda, whatever that is. The end. So what do you think? A real story? A make-believe story? An idea story?
What do you think? A real story? Because it's... Well, everybody makes stuff like that. And thanks for the blue jeans!
I think it's an idea story.
Idea story. Yeah.
I think it's an idea story, but with lots of real things in it. Yeah. Well, I met Anna when I was the interim minister in our Miami congregation, and we did the story there. And when I found out she was going to be here this weekend for the choral festival, I thought, what a great time to do the story again. So I hope you enjoyed it. Okay. Well, let's make a circle that includes all the children now, and we'll sing our song of dedication. Let us come together now in a time of meditation and reflection. Take a moment to relax your body, calm your mind. Close your eyes if you like. Feel your breath flowing in, flowing out. Breathe. Feel the beating of your own heart. We begin, as always, with ourselves, knowing that we are lovable and acceptable just as we are. We are enough. And yet we long for more. We yearn for connection. We reach out our hand to our sister, to our brother, to the stranger, near or far. We weave a web of connection. We are many. Let us be as one. We yearn for connection, yet sometimes our grasp falls short. The bridges we build do not seem to span the chasms that separate us one from another. We are many. We would be as one. And so we open our hearts to compassion, that we may hold ourselves and each other tenderly when we fall short of our highest ideals. We open our hearts to compassion that we may have the strength and the courage to reach out again and again, risking, weaving the web of connections that would make us one. We are many. In the silence that follows, let our hearts be as one. This week, I received a link to a news article about the demise of a church. It was from the satirical news magazine, The Onion, and it was forwarded to me by my husband. The article explained why the fictitious church had closed. Turns out the pastor had discovered 20th century science, rendering their particular teachings nonsensical. The article goes on to describe the reaction of the congregation's membership. While reaction is reported to have been mixed, it was mostly positive. I was particularly struck by the remarks accredited to Mabel Griskowski, age 78, and I quote, "I enjoyed the lovely singing during the church service and was very sad to see it go. But then Pastor explained to me that there are groups who get together just for singing only, and I could go to anyone I wanted whenever I wished, just singing, none of that boring in-between stuff that I always slept through. I'm much happier now." End quote. As I am clearly outnumbered this morning, I shall keep my remarks brief. We, of course, come to church for many different reasons. Even the reasons why a given individual comes can vary from week to week. We bring different life stories, different theologies, different worship preferences, and different moods. In Unitarian Universalism, we honor and celebrate our diversity, and we come together to meet that challenge of building bridges between our divisions. We come together to connect with one another, to know and to be known. And it is in that knowing that we find our unity, our common humanity. We melt away walls. We make friends out of strangers. We may connect with people in church whom we would never interact with in the rest of our lives. We get to know each other. And as we do, we expand our circle of care and concern. And then, having changed our hearts, our actions too cannot help but change. In the Metta Sutta, in the Buddhist tradition, we read, "Even as a mother watches over her child, so with boundless mind should one cherish all living beings." We gather together to open our minds and our hearts, to expand our awareness, and to learn to live more compassionately in our world.
Oh,
harmony. When all is right with the universe, our communities, our lives, and our songs. Harmony, we are reminded, does not mean that everyone is singing the same note. In fact, it specifically refers to different notes being sung at the same time. On the other hand, it doesn't mean anything goes either. The notes are in relationship to each other. When we find ways to blend our differences, we create something better than any of us could have created on our own. We create something beautiful, something magical. Such harmony, I would suggest, is a matter of intention. It is a matter of choice. You are free to choose whatever note you want. You are free. But remember the advice on the little jar labeled freedom. Use cautiously, because choices made will have consequences. Harmony within the universe, in our communities, in our lives, and in our songs is a matter of intention, a matter of choice. It means listening to what is going on within and around you. It means reaching out, connecting. It means the messy yet deeply rewarding work of relationship. Harmony means finding the unity in our diversity, finding it, and sometimes creating it. With all of our voices, said our gathering call, with all of our voices and all of our visions, friends, we could make such sweet harmony. The choice is ours. And so may we choose and choose wisely both the good that we do and the love that we give. The choice, after all is said and done, is ours.
Together, join our voices in song, and the world.
this would be an excellent time to thank our singers this morning. Thanks as well to our organizer, our conductors and composers and musicians, and all of our volunteers. And now go, and as you go, may your heart remain ever open to the love that surrounds you. Always go in peace. And join me now, please, in the words for extinguishing our chalice.